Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Trash Tuesday, everybody. Send us your trashes. Who or what are you trashing? We just did ours. So send it to me on Twitter. DA on CBS is the handle. DA on CBS. Get involved. Also on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Speaking of tweets, I've enjoyed getting the Tweet That Meets thing going on again. Earlier in the summer, we did this. I wanted to see how your grills looked, what you were cooking up on the grill. And you guys are bringing the noise yet again. So we're back at it every day. Send me what you got cooking up on the grill. Hashtag Tweet That Meat. I'm seeing some great grills on both Twitter, DA on CBS, or on Instagram, at Damon Amendo on Instagram. Follow me and tweet at me there, or post pictures and contact me there, at Damon Amendo on Instagram. I've been tweeting out my grills as well. Good grilling season. Just good grilling season these days. Oh, a lot of it, big boy. A lot of it. Steaks, chicken, fish, burgers, a lot of protein for the big one.
Ooh, yeah, mama.
Dr. Chunk. It is always amazing that when Mraz is off, we could really just play his drops and nobody would know the difference. Like in that case right there, would you have any idea that Mraz is not in this week if I just talked about grilling meat and Mraz would drool or just say, oh, mama, or protein? I mean, let's face it. That's just kind of the Mraz soundboard, and nobody would ever know the difference.
Pork shoulder.
Yeah, boom. It's the Mraz sound machine, and the only thing we would miss is the occasional hot take, like the NBA should put the strip club in the bubble to prevent Lou Williams from going to one while he's in Atlanta. Other than that, it is just noises and one-liners.
Yeah.
Now that's outrageous.
And if we just used one of his most ridiculous takes and played them today, some people might say, oh, I heard Mraz do this take a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, but you wouldn't know that it wasn't live because it wasn't like, you know, Mraz doesn't repeat the same idiotic takes as well. So, you know, honestly, this might be a more streamlined DA show when you just use Mraz's greatest hits and actually have Connor do the tough work, the heavy lifting.
Right.
And we just play Mraz sound bites. You know, it's kind of like around holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas or other things, where SNL just plays its greatest hits. It's the SNL special. Yeah. And nobody ever watches SNL anymore, but they feel like they're, you know, they're still watching SNL because they watch the Christmas special, the Halloween special. Same exact thing.
I'm a Jewel guy.
I will say, to his credit, in a very minor way, he has, filling in for you, mixed in a few more adult mature takes, but then walks himself into not knowing that rabbits can nurse their baby rabbits. Mm-hmm. So he goes right back into normal Mraz. So, and then all of those takes are basically the same, right? It's about him somehow being a pig, whether it's the Yankees need to win more or somebody else needs to lose more. And it's okay that I do this, but you can't do it. So, and all those things can just be triggered in all of our minds by like a simple drop, a simple sound effect. So you talk about the Yankees, Pete plays, you know, some kind of pig noise, and we know exactly what Sean would have said in that moment. We don't need him to say it live.
You know, everybody likes to make a piggy.
Yeah, right, exactly. So in this battle over college football, it struck me that they're actually making the case of why the NFL should play this fall, indirectly. There's this obvious war going on at the top of college football where presidents are really leery on playing college football, but the coaches and the players really want it. Not all players. Some players have opted out. But there's enough of a vocal majority, let's say, of players that are saying, we want to play, let us play, we feel safe playing, where coaches are pushing that narrative. Hey, the players want to play. And a lot of media and fans that want to see college football play are pushing that as well. And look, I get why that's a very attractive narrative. It makes us feel better about wanting unpaid labor to entertain us during a coronavirus pandemic. I totally get why that is an attractive narrative. And I love college football. I would love to see college football played. It bums me out to think that we wouldn't get Alabama LSU or Ohio State Michigan or, you know, choose your great college football game that you can't wait to watch. It does bum me out. And so when I see players making the case for playing, that it'll make us, that we'll be safer being on campus, we're safer being away from our regular lives, being back home, not having surveillance, not having regular testing, we feel safe here. It makes you go, oh yeah, okay. Well, then there's a good rationale for why I want to be entertained. So people that want college football will be hanging their hat on this, and that includes coaches. Look, the end of the day, do I think that these college football coaches are bad human beings? No, by and large, I don't think they are. I think there's a couple that are probably bad human beings. I think there's probably a couple that are racist or a couple that are just terrible guys that are cheating on their wives all the time, abusive in their language towards players, you know, corrupt or whatever. Of course, there's going to be bad guys in every walk of life. And so that doesn't mean that college football coaches can't be in there as well. But I think by and large, these guys aren't terrible human beings, but they're looking at their livelihoods and they're making $5, $6, $7 million a year. And they realize, well, the only way the gravy train continues is if we play college football, because if we don't play college football, I'm not working this year. And number two, if we don't play college football, who knows what that means to budgetary cuts next year or beyond? My gravy train might go away. And so they're looking at the players and they're saying, well, look, the players want to play. We should play. So this is a very interesting set of battle lines being drawn. And you can see why the people that want college football or need college football to be played will look to the players to make them feel better about football being played. But I do think there's also a logical defense of what the players are saying as well. For me, to take my fandom out of it, when I hear the players say, look, we'll be tested every couple of days. Our peers will be tested every couple of days. If there's positive tests, those people are taken out of our social circles. And if we do test positive, we have immediate care that are looking over our symptoms and giving us treatment, that we are in the healthiest place possible in terms of protection against the coronavirus, I think that makes a lot of sense. The rest of us do not have regular testing at our disposal, certainly don't have free testing at our disposal multiple times a week, and we certainly don't have constant surveillance and care given to us if we're feeling any symptoms. And we certainly don't have a social circle where the moment somebody is tested, they're going to be removed from the social circle and you know it immediately because you're trying to be protected by an outside force. We're all left to fend on ourselves. So these players saying, look, if there's no college football and there's no kids on campus and we're just forced to go home, we're not getting tested. We're around our friends and family that may or may not be tested, that might be carrying it. And if we do get it, we're not around this regular treatment. It's safer for us to be on campus, getting tested constantly, playing football. I get that. I think that actually makes a lot of sense. Ultimately, the risk reward here for unpaid college labor might not allow college football to be played, even though these players have a point. But what it does say is that people that are queasy about the NFL playing or people thinking that the NFL won't be played, I think I have to look at this. College football players are making the case for the NFL to be a safe zone. Look, I don't know if I believe this, but there are college coaches saying we shouldn't be worried about contracting the virus on the football field because all the football players will be constantly monitored and tested. You know, the way that we think about it is, well, man, you know, this is contact sports and you're tackling one another. You're in the trenches battling one another. You're constantly breathing and sweating on one another. This is the ultimate Petri dish. And that might be true. But if all of the players who are competing are constantly tested, it might be safer. I don't know. But you could argue that it's safer than just going to a grocery store and having a bunch of people that have it not wear masks. So for the NFL, I'm sure there are people going, boy, can you really pull this thing off? I mean, there's no bubble. People are going to be, guys are going to be out in normal society. People are going to be interacting with their families and their friends and going to the supermarket, going to the gas station, going wherever. Can we really allow this? Can we really allow ourselves to think that this could be pulled off? Well, college football is making this case. As I said, the safety, health, and wellness part of it, they're monitored more than the regular populace. But also the argument that college football players and coaches are making are, hey, we're responsible for so many people directly that we'll be more accountable, we'll be more responsible. We know that we can't get our teammates infected. We know we're going to be tested constantly. And we know that if we test positive, we can't do what we love. So we're just going to be more responsible than other people. You know, you see these people that walk into Trader Joe's or a grocery store and they throw this hissy fit about wearing a mask. It's communist. It's this. It's civil liberties. It's all this nonsense, which is just such gobbledygook because it doesn't take much to wear a mask. And people gave up civil liberties in other ways a million times before this, but this is the cause that they're taking up. It's so silly. So when you see NFL players and you say, well, they're just going to be part of the normal populace, they're going to be coming back to play the NFL, why do we trust that? Well, you might say, well, those players know if they test positive and can't play, they're sacrificing their livelihood, that they'll be more accountable because they've got something to lose versus the woman screaming at Trader Joe's. She's got nothing to lose. She could just be angry. She can just be mad. If she does get it, who cares? It's just on her. But if you get it as a football player, well, now you're getting tested the next day or the next 2 days. You're removed from your profession, something that you love dearly. You're quarantined. You could get your friends and your teammates and your peers positive as well. And there's a lot of dominoes that fall in your wake. So it's possible that the NFL players are way more accountable, way more responsible, tested constantly, and are under constant surveillance. It's a pretty good scenario for actually having football played this year in the NFL. I'll tell you this. To me, I just believe that the NFL is going to right now push through and bulldoze to try to make this thing work, because they realize that the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and MLS are capitalizing, NASCAR as well, and PGA Tour are capitalizing on this desperate thirst for sports. We're seeing this. I mean, ratings are up. People are into it. What's being played, people are watching. There's money to be had. There's ratings to be had. And the NFL doesn't want to be left on the outside of that. They don't. They're never left on the outside. They don't want to start now. I saw a video of the Denver Broncos walking into the facility with an sanitizing mist coming down on top of them. The NFL is going to try anything and everything to get this season played. Even with no fans, they're going after it. And they're watching the NBA and the NHL capitalize on this. So I think the NFL has the appetite to push forward and to do this. But indirectly, the arguments being made for college football, to me, are helping make it seem like the NFL's a more likely candidate to be played as well. Trash Tuesday, hit me up, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll do that coming up here next, and we are stunned to a news. Have you ever had your laptop stolen by a wild boar to nudist colony? The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
If you're JD, and you said, let me type away because I'm going to laugh at what DA said, make him on a rise. I don't want to hear from you because my guess is, JD, you half-ass it at work all the time.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. How about Rockies outfielder Charlie Blackmon, who has joined us here on the DA Show before. Riding a 14-game hitting streak and a league-leading .484 batting average. Blackmon registered four hits in the Rockies' 12-8 win-loss over the D-backs last night. Colorado remains atop the NL West by a half game over the Dodgers.
Loss. My bad.
Tuft. It's a tough day for the scriptwriters here on the DA Show. Blackmon registered four hits in the Rockies' 12-8 win-loss over the D-backs last night. Man, Rob Manfred really did change the rules of baseball around. I had no idea.
Changing every hour.
We've got wins. We've got losses. We've got win-losses. We've got runners on second base starting extra innings. We've got the full-time DH of the National League. We've got mandatory three-batter minimum for relievers and win-losses. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Granger. As you get back to business, Granger is there to help with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety, recovery guides, 24/7 support, and more. Visit Granger.com/recovery. Granger for the ones who get it done. Remember that the DA Show's also in podcast form. So if you ever miss anything or want to hear it again, you can always check us out on demand. Simply search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. So that would be either on your Apple Music, radio.com, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that you get your podcast, just search the DA Show. You'll see it. Subscribe, completely free. Rate and review us if you have the time, because that would help other people find it as well.
Go get a calzone.
Go get a calzone. That's what Rex Hudler said yesterday here on the show. I never heard anybody pronounce calzone calzone.
Go get a calzone.
Calzone. Like it's a small
calzone
town.
Calzone today. A calzone today. A fajita tomorrow.
Calzone. Nothing like a delicious, cheesy, gooey, saucy calzone.
With ricotta cheese.
Calzone. Dixieland Dan tweets in on a Trash Tuesday. Nasty trash here, DA. See, this is a couple of times that I've seen it recently. I'm trashing people who put their used toilet paper in the trash can instead of flushing it. That stuff dissolves in water for a reason, so flush it, you nasty ass. You don't deserve indoor plumbing. Hashtag Trash Tuesday.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
You know, it's amazing, but in other countries, like when I traveled to Peru a couple of years ago, this is standard. You put your used toilet paper in the garbage can next to the toilet because their plumbing systems can't handle toilet paper or paper products in the water. So you have to throw out your used toilet paper in the garbage can. And so, as you might imagine, public toilets are no good. They just, it is, it's like sleeping over Mraz's house. It's just a devastating used towel here and underwear there. And it's just, it's all types of really stinky debris everywhere. But
beer
that is
here.
a lot of other places, their plumbing systems don't have the power to, I guess, dissolve or handle paper products in there. So it's fairly devastating.
I was just going to say that those garbage cans in those bathrooms must look like Jody Sounds. I mean, that's a terrible visual of everyone's collected mm-hmm. toilet paper mm-hmm. in one bin
yeah.
in a stall. I mean, that is awful.
Let me tell you, the people that are listening right now that have had the job of bathroom cleaner, sanitation, janitorial service, I have the utmost respect for you, because when I see our janitorial service come into work, I always feel like, man, you know what? You guys are doing God's work here, because nobody wants to handle this. You got to see our sales staff. You got to see our engineering staff. You got to see our Mraz. I mean, you know, it's just not, it's no group of people that you would ever want to clean up after. And they're doing it every single day. And so, you know, they're making your bathrooms tidy and bright and sanitized. I've got so much respect. But that's also just dumping garbage cans full of, you know, paper that people use to maybe blow their nose or to dry their hands. You know, it is not used toilet paper. In other countries, the sanitation departments that have to clean out the garbage cans of used toilet paper is just an unbelievably devastating career choice. And some people got to do it, and it's just... It's hard to imagine that being your day when you've got to deal with used toilet paper of everybody constantly.
I mean, in your house too, you need to do this? Because this sounds like there's not going to be a way you could talk me into now going to Peru because of this, because I wouldn't want to have to deal with this. There are no positives to outweigh this garbage bin of dirty toilet
yeah.
paper
well,
sitting
yeah,
right
no,
next to me.
I think you have to do it at your own house as well. Now, it's a little easier at your own house because obviously it's yours and it's your family's, so it's a little easier
still.
Than cleaning up strangers who, and you know what, sometimes those bins aren't cleaned up every single day, so they might be there from yesterday or a couple of days ago. So it's a tough scene, but yeah, there's a lot of places in the world where globally paper products do not dissolve. You know, we've got high-powered plumbing, sanitation, and chemicals, and you see these processing plants. You know, there's chemicals that go into the water to dissolve all the toilet paper. It's not like toilet paper magically just disappears once it hits toilet water. No, it goes through sewage and contamination places, and they dissolve it via chemicals, then sterilize the water, etc. It's not like this happens magically.
I kind of wish Sean... was here so we could hear what his alternate reality of the sewer system was, that there was some kind of like gnomes down there cleaning things out so we could then drink the water 12 hours later.
Yeah, he definitely thinks that there's a bunch of Keebler elves at the bottom of your indoor plumbing system that wring out
next
the
to your
paper.
Coal pit.
Yeah, right.
It's the anus.
Rob tweets, I'm trashing Mother Nature because it's been so hot and humid that Dan Forden from Mortal Kombat keeps calling out toasty every hour.
That's a dumpster dive.
It's a little late on the trigger as well here, Pete. Yesterday, a couple of whiffs, and now a little late on the Trash Tuesday.
I was trying to see the punchline.
Oh, that's fair. Brian yeah. tweets, I'm trashing the Washington Nationals grounds crew for not even getting the tarp out before the field turned into a mess on Sunday. Hashtag, you had one job. Hashtag, Trash Tuesday.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
Okay, so hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or your trash is on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. AB has our headlines this morning. Bogues, what do we got?
Babe.
D&E's ones are sponsored by Geico, who has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So the Big Ten might not play football in the fall, but could some Big Ten schools play elsewhere in the fall? This was Nebraska head coach Scott Frost yesterday.
We want to play no matter who it is or where it is. So we'll see how those chips fall. We certainly hope it's in the Big Ten. If it isn't, I think we're prepared to look for other options.
Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State may have also secretly explored other options too, even though all of their presidents might have voted to postpone the season. However, CBSSports.com lays out that changing conferences for this fall is probably impossible, mostly because TV contracts lock schools into their conferences, and if they were to go somewhere else, they couldn't be on TV. So Nebraska and everybody else can look around, but the odds of them playing some misfit Big Ten conglomeration is probably very, 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 very slim. Meanwhile, the Pac-12 CEO Council is meeting today and may make a decision about the fall. The Pac-12 reportedly leaning like the Big Ten and holding off until the spring. The latest Big Ten report this morning is that presidents may decide in a meeting today to postpone the start of the regular season deeper into September, if not all the way to the spring. So maybe, just maybe, all of these full-hearted pleas from players and coaches have made them listen just a little bit and give them more time to figure things out. Now, we talked yesterday about the Blazers' surge at the bottom of the NBA's Western Conference bracket. Just a half game behind them are the Suns. Head coach Monty Williams' team is 6-0 in the bubble after yesterday's 128-101 victory over OKC.
It's been an uphill battle for us, and we've done a good job of getting to this point. And no one knew we were going to be here, but we're here, and we're thankful for that. But we haven't accomplished anything.
So his team is a half game behind the Blazers, who are a half game behind eighth place Memphis. The problem for Phoenix is they need help no matter what. They could go 8-0 and still not get into at that 9 spot at least to trigger those playing games. Kyle Kuzma's 3 with 4/10 of a second left got the Lakers past the Nuggets last night, 124-121. And the Raptors beat the Bucks 114-106 in a battle of benches. Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, and Giannis were all out. Chris Boucher led Toronto with 25 points and 11 boards. Major League Baseball is reportedly considering a bubble setup for its postseason. It would resemble the NHL, using Toronto and Edmonton to finish its season. The Nationals had scored 11 runs over their previous 5 games, so they promptly pounded the Mets last night, 16-4. The day began with New York losing Marcus Stroman. He's opting out for the rest of the season, further diminishing their rotation. Arizona outscored Colorado, or did they, 12-8? The Mariners, a 10-2 win in Texas, and the Angels top the A's 10-9, ending Oakland's 9-game winning streak. The Patriots are signing veteran running back Lamar Miller, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. The Athletic reporting that it's too early to know if Sonny Michel will be ready for Week 1 following off-season foot surgery. And in the WNBA last night, the Phoenix Mercury took care of the Dallas Wings, 91-79. Skylar Diggins-Smith, 26 points and 7 assists. And now, we're stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
If you are watching at watchda.com on our Twitch channel, or if you're watching inside the radio.com app, you are seeing me smile through the entirety of Bogus's update. And I just can't help but smile and laugh and giggle at Stunned to a News. I have this image in my head, and I just am so filled with glee. AB, take it away.
So I believe, DA, this is our third nudist beach-related stunned. There might be a place in France where the naked ladies dance, but there's a place in Berlin, Germany where naked old fat guys chase wild boars who just stole something. This place in Berlin is aptly named Devil's Lake, and apparently in Berlin's forested area, see, you get political flags. In Berlin, near lakes and trees, you get wild boars running through little picnic areas. And one of these wild boars stumbled into this area the other day. It first stole some food from somebody, but then upped the ante. It hooked a man's bag, which had his laptop in it. So this man needed to get the laptop back, of course, from the running wild boar.
Oh, yeah.
But this man was naked. He wasn't skinny. He wasn't young. But off he went after the wild boar, running through people having nice, pleasant days at Devil's Lake in Berlin. Now, to his credit, he did somehow get the bag and the laptop back from the boar.
Amazing.
And thankfully for us, a woman picked up her camera and filmed this scene of this naked guy running after the boar. As he came back with his possessions, she showed him the video. I'm assuming he was still naked. And he laughed and said, yeah, you can post that. And that's how we know about this today. For Stunned to a News.
So, to me, this is the perfect metaphor for 2020. We are all naked, fat German nudists, and we are all chasing the boar with our laptop in the bag. It is just constantly, the year is just getting away from us all and just punking us constantly. So, I love this as a metaphor for life in 2020. I also kind of love the fact that it had to be a really big-bellied, fat old guy. That of all the people chasing the wild boar, trying to get back his laptop, it would be a 65-year-old dude that's been eating so much sauerbraten and wiener schnitzel that he just has the biggest pot belly ever. I mean, this guy is eating so much freaking wiener schnitzel. It is unbelievable. He is just pounding German mugs of beer. You could tell because he's got a boiler on him. And he is chasing not only mama wild boar, but there's also two or three baby wild boars running behind mama wild boar. And it's this yellow knapsack or bag that he's chasing his laptop in. It is very much cartoon-esque. And then this guy somehow chases down the wild boar and he disappears into, you know, behind the trees, comes back with the bag and the laptop, and the rest of the people in the park give this guy a standing ovation. Could you imagine seeing pot-bellied old German nudist coming back after chasing down the wild boar and having to give him a slow clap like an 80s movie? That's all types of awesome. So while you guys say I'm not going to go to South America because I don't want to be dealing with, you know, used toilet paper in garbage cans next to me, I would not necessarily want to go to a Munich park because I don't need or want to see fat old guys nude sunbathing and then all types of their twig and berries flopping all over the place because they're chasing wild boars. So I think I would opt for places that I got to smell used toilet paper.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I mean, the naked guy plus the boar, that's a doubleheader you don't want to deal with, rummaging through your stuff in the park. And again, this is just a park. It's not even like they were in one of these crazy nudist colonies. Like, just it's free there in Berlin, and people sometimes strip down to their nothings and sunbathe, and that's what this guy's doing, because the video is him running through fully clothed people who are just on picnic blankets and, you know, having lunch or reading a book. And their, you know, their day is first ruined by this visual, but then there's wild boars trying to steal your stuff too.
Yeah. The caption of this Instagram from the woman that took this picture, sets of pictures, says, "In Berlin, we are free people. We love to bathe in the sun and lake like we were when we were born." And that seems like an interesting take on things. Like they feel like they're just, you remember how you felt when you were born? What was it like when you were a naked little baby, little bib? I do have to say that inevitably you think people nude all around the park is awesome because you're going to be able to, you know, see some hot dude or hot chick, depending on what you're into, naked. And it's never that way. I mean, the nudists are always the pot-bellied bald guys chasing down their laptops on the wild boar. It's always that way. You know, you think it's going to be like MTV Spring Break and this everybody's tops came off, but it's not that way at all. Ever. There's never a nudist colony that does that. And I would imagine in Germany, like, this guy might be chasing down the wild boar because he wants to eat that wild boar. It wouldn't surprise me if whatever that wild boar's got, he's looking for it to be smoked and on rye bread with some mustard. You know, like, have you ever eaten German food? It's delicious, but it's just pork and bread and beer. That's all it ever is. This guy ate a lot of wild boar and now is chasing down his wild boar. This is basically his fever dream come to life.
Yeah, you're still right, though. This is on the long list of things that never have actually happened in real life. You've never seen an attractive person sunbathing nude. You've never had a pipe burst and have some hunky plumber show up to clean your pipes.
No.
You know, you've never lived next to a hot lesbian couple. None of these things have ever happened. We think they do. We thrive. We try to make them happen, but well, they've never actually happened.
Well, it's the plot line of almost every pornographic film is like
exactly
these really attractive people are in normal everyday circumstances that just happen to fall into sex. But in reality, they are fat, pot-bellied, bald old guys laying in a Munich park, getting up and chasing the wild boar for their laptop.
A construction worker has never whistled at a beautiful woman walking by, and she went, you know what? You're a handsome guy. Let's go have some lunch and see what happens. That's never worked either, but we keep doing that too.
Look at that hunk. I got to go out with that guy.
Yeah. He's got off that I-beam and take me to lunch.
He's got game too. He whistled at me. I like this guy's personality.
It's good confidence.
You know, there's all these dudes that are like, oh, man, I broke my leg. Great. I'm going to be in the hospital. Hot nurses. And then it's like the fattest old guy is your nurse. You know?
Yeah, this guy's your nurse.
Yeah, that guy's your
back
nurse.
From his naked lunch.
Right. Big Bertha is your nurse. She's got like three moles on her face. You're like, oh, this is definitely not the way that my dream went.
Yeah.
All right. That is stunned. Tua news. When we come back here on the show, Canadian bacon, baseball version. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The sizzle of the best goals. The saltiness of the best games.
He's without a stick. He makes another save. And still another save. And play is stopped.
Crave the nightly action in Edmonton and Toronto of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's a hockey, you know, it's only a game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
Our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offering an extra 15% credit car, motorcycle, RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. No hockey yesterday, just the lottery won by the New York Rangers. So Connor Green, who's stepping in for Mraz this week, is going to do the day in Major League Baseball. Connor Green, take it away.
All right, DA, we start off with Juan Soto, just 21 years old, wasn't old enough to buy a beer during their World Series run, but he hits like a grown man.
Here's a curveball. Soto hits one high in the air to deep center field. Way back goes Nimmo, looking up, and forget about it. That one is long gone. He clears the wall. He clears the apple in dead center field. A tape measure home run on a hanging curveball for Juan Soto. Soto's second home run of the year makes it 5-0 Nationals.
Dave Jagler, Nationals Radio. When I was 21, I was sitting in my dorm room eating Hot Pockets, playing Madden, and shamelessly asking my parents for spending money. I was lucky to do my laundry once a week, to be totally honest. On the other hand, Juan Soto at 21 is an international superstar.
Yeah.
I ate Hot Pockets. He goes 3-for-4 last night, 3-run homer, scores 3 runs as the Nats absolutely destroyed the Mets 16-4 as they were nice enough to toss Juan Soto some batting practice, getting him going after missing some time earlier this year.
By the way, AB, Steven Matz looked good yesterday, huh? Boy, that Mets rotation. Syndergaard done for the season. Marcus Stroman says he's going to be done for the season. And what used to be a strength and a position of depth for the Mets, Steven Matz also had bright future. Just looks like a disaster outside of Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, I thought Steve Carlton was the ceiling for Matt.
Regressing, I would say, for Steve and Matt. Regressing.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Connor Green, what else?
All right, Angels versus A's. The A's were red hot, led 9-4, but Mike Trout, America's unknown superstar, launched two late-inning home runs.
Here's the next pitch, and that one is hit high, and it's hit deep out in the left field, and it is Trout of here!
Oof.
Mike Trout has done it again tonight. A two-homer game for him, and the Angels are back on top 10-9. What a night for Trout.
Terry Smith, Angels Radio, and a Q poll said that only 22% of Americans are familiar with Mike Trout.
Unreal.
Which means for nearly 80% of people, he could show up on their doorstep, offer their son hitting lessons, and they'd say, "Who the hell are you? Get lost or I'm calling the police. Honey, some guy is trying to break into our house." Like everything in life, I blame Rob Manfred. And by the way, do you think Mike Trout and former Angels great Tim Salmon ever get together and talk a little baseball over a seafood platter? A little tuna tartare? Maybe some halibut for the hell of it? Matt Chapman also had a ridiculous night for the A's. He went 3-for-5 with 2 home runs, a triple, and 6 RBIs, scoring 20 points on the bench for my fantasy team, which is the worst mistake I've made since walking home in a hurricane last week without an umbrella. Angels win 10-9. They snap the A's 9-game winning streak.
Let me tell you, Mike Trout is consistently amazing. He has hit 7 home runs in the reboot of the baseball season, whatever this is as a baseball season. He left to go have a baby. He just had his wife had a baby, so he's now back, and he's crushing home runs. And yet, 80% of America isn't familiar with basically the modern-day Mickey Mantle, who's almost a decade into his career. He's not a young guy anymore. And the most amazing thing is, as unbelievable as he is at baseball, the most amazing video I've ever seen of him was at Top Golf, where he's at like a buddy's birthday party or his birthday party, and he hits a golf ball so flipping far, you would think it hit a satellite in orbit. It is the most amazing drive I've ever seen, and that includes the PGA Tour. This guy is so remarkable, and 80% of America doesn't know who he is. All right, Connor, what else do we have?
We wrap up with Marcus Stroman, who saw the Mets roster and, like Yoenis Cespedes said, you know what? I quit.
Ended up being a collective family decision for me, something that's been weighing on me daily. Sitting with my family and kind of assessing all the possibilities and realizing that there's just too many uncertainties, too many unknowns right now to go out there and truly just putting the health for my family and myself first and foremost.
So he opts out of the 2020 season just in time to be eligible for free agency this offseason. So in total, the Mets got 11 starts from Stroman, gave up 2 promising young prospects in the process, which is maybe why you don't hire a used car salesman with no experience to be your general manager. And as a Yankee fan, I root for the Mets. I really do. They try their best. They try and they try and they try. They're like the little engine that couldn't and hasn't and honestly maybe never will at this point. Jets fan, I can say I feel your guys' pain. And that, guys, is your Canadian bacon.
Very good. Well done, Connor. Yes, Brody Van Wagenen, agent turned GM, now has the blood in his hands of 2 of the worst trades in Mets history, trading away prospects for the disaster that is Edwin Diaz and the bloated contract of an aging Robinson Cano, and trading away 2 prospects for Marcus Stroman because he was saying, well, we had a full year of his control next year. Stroman opts out of this season, which was the full year of control, and was part of, 11 starts last year for a team that finished in 3rd place in the National League East. So, Brody, take a hike. When we come back here on the show, Greg Anthony's going to join us. What has he seen from the NBA bubble as we are in the final week of seeding games? Next Monday starts the NBA playoffs. Greg Anthony's going to join us next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.